We're going to continue our series. We've been talking about going through this series called I Quit. And I don't know about you, but it's been a challenging one. And I'm going to start us off, just so we actually, before I do that, real quick before I forget, last week Dave did a powerful talk, and you can check it out online. But if any of you were interested in joining a team, please follow up with me. I would love to connect with you and talk with you, see where we can get you plugged in, because that was the focus of last week's talk, and I want to encourage you. The more that you can get involved and being a part of a team, it's not just about serving, it's about being a part. That's the way we build relationships, and that's the way that we see God move strongly through our church, whether it's being a part of the kids ministry or being on the sound team, whatever it is. So I want to encourage you, if that was something that was put on your heart last week, come find me. I'd love to talk to you. I'm going to start us off saying the thing that Dave's been saying almost every week now, and that is sometimes we have to quit doing one thing so we can start doing the right thing. That's easier said than done, huh? However, once you recognize the thing that you were doing that was unhealthy, you can replace it with the right thing that, even though is harder, is going to be far more beneficial to your life. This is true in anything, whether we're talking about our physical bodies, our mental health, our relationships, our marriage, whatever. And where we've been focusing the last few weeks in this series is about being the church. We're talking about quitting habits that are separating us from just coming to church to actually being the church. And as Pastor Dave said last week, we have to stop coming to church and start being the church. This week, we're going to talk about something that most people do not like to talk about. I get stuck with the hard ones. We're going to talk today about money. It's really quiet in here. I want to tell you to quit giving your money away. I want to tell you to quit giving it away. Why? Because our money is not ours to give. You see, everything in this world, everything you see, touch, feel, experience, whatever it is, your personality traits, your skills, the skills that are used to pay the bills, that was corny, I wish I didn't say that. Everything, it all belongs to God. The scriptures say that multiple times throughout the Bible, but just to give you a couple examples. Psalm 89:11 says, "The heavens are yours and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all." Or Haggai 2:8 says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies." And I don't think I have to tell you that dollar bill you might have in your pocket, it represents so much more than just paper. We all know that. It's a substitution of the real deal. And even though none of this wealth belongs to us, God has entrusted it to us. And all God asks is for us to give back to him a tenth of what he has given. We can see that throughout scripture, throughout even before the law was even formed, and far after when Jesus spoke on it. He said to go far and above and beyond the law. And that giving God a tenth back is exactly what tithing is. It's giving God back 10% of what he has given to us. As I said, this is a tough topic. Tithing is somewhat of a taboo, even in today's church setting within the culture. And that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it today. But I want you to know that tithing isn't the end goal of this talk. That's not my goal, is to get you to write a check for 10%. That's not it. The goal of the talk today is that we should have a generous heart and do what God puts on our heart. See, I want to tell you some things that are going to happen when you have a generous heart and make that a priority. I also want to tell you what happens when you aren't tithing and how, in my opinion, but not just in my opinion, you are missing out on some incredible benefits that God has to offer. So let's go in through just a few of the ways that you and I win when we tithe. And by the way, like I said last gathering, this talk is not directed at any one person. If anything, it's directed at me. You can ask my wife. I went through some of this stuff, and we had to have some serious conversations because it hit me hard. But the first way that we win when we tithe is tithing makes you resemble God. Tithing makes you resemble God. Our God is a generous God. I'm sure if I was to ask anybody in this room, or if you were to ask me, there could be countless stories of how God has come through for us. Oftentimes, though, there's a fact in life that we forget, and that's that we were made in the image of God. In Genesis 1:27, it reads, "So God created human beings in his own image." If we were to look at the original text of that scripture in Hebrew, there's a word there. There's a word, and I'm going to try not to mess it up. It's called tselem, tselem. And the general meaning of that word means his drawing or his representation. I don't know if you remember doing this as a kid or if you have kids or grandkids who maybe do this where they'll trace their hand on a piece of paper and then use that to make other funny pictures. I remember doing it and as a kid making a turkey at Thanksgiving of it. If you were to do that and put your hand on the paper and trace around it, it's obviously not a perfect replication of it. But you get the idea of what it is. And that to me is a great example of how God made us. He traced his image, and from that came us. See, we were made to carry out God's values and act as he would. That means being generous with everything we have, just as he is generous to us. And what's so cool about this to me is we see acts of kindness and generosity every single day. Am I right? You see people, they give money to charities, or they hand out money to people who are homeless out on the freeways asking for money. And there are plenty of people doing that who don't even know who God is or don't have a relationship with him. And what's so cool about that to me is that these people who are being generous, who don't even know God, are still acting in the very image of the God that created them. So it's very important from that to understand one thing, and this isn't in your notes, but if you want to write it down, you can. It's that we can give and not be Christ followers, but we cannot be Christ followers and not give. The second way we win when we tithe is tithing is an act of worship. Tithing is an act of worship. When you worship someone or something, you're putting it first. We're told in Scripture a lot to put God first. One of the ways that we do that is through tithing. But a lot of us, including me, are very selective in our worship. We'll give in one area, say our time. We'll volunteer. Doesn't matter whether it's Kids Quest, Soundboard, Greeter. We'll do that. That's easy. Or we'll go to a connection group midweek because we can do that. But when it comes to tithing, all of a sudden, our faith just vanishes. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." It's as simple as that. And Jesus has commanded us to tithe. When we tithe, we are showing God that we are him first. Not only in our finances, but in everything. You're making him the priority. And when you make something a priority, your actions reflect it. So for instance, say you put your physical health as a priority. I can tell you there's going to be a few things you're going to do and a few things you're not going to do. Something you might do, you're going to exercise. Something I need to greatly do. Something you're not going to do, probably not eat any junk food. Probably won't go to McDonald's all the time. And just as you do that, just as you'll see the results of a better body when you put it as a priority, so too when you tithe, will you see a better financial outcome? See, the truth is simple. If God is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. The third way that we win when we tithe, is tithing blesses you in return. Tithing blesses us in return. This is a while back, not too long ago, but probably when I was somewhere between 12 and 14. I can't remember exactly when. I went to Redondo Beach in LA. I don't know if you've ever been. It was an early morning, and I brought with me this 10-foot foam surfboard that I bought at Costco. And I went with a buddy who told me he'd try to teach me. He's a lot older and more experienced in it than me. And he said, "Let's give it a shot." Unsuccessfully, I might add. And we went out into the water, and it was freezing cold. And we started pushing through the waves, paddling out to an area where we could try to start and catch a wave. Now, if you've ever gone out into the water, whether you've come with us to Quest Camp, to Morro Bay, or if you've just visited, I hope you visited now, because now is the perfect time to do it. But when you go out and you do it, whether you're surfing or boogie boarding or body surfing, you know what I mean when you float out there and you just wait. You're waiting to catch a wave. And a lot of what's involved is catching the momentum of that wave by basically paddling like a shark is chasing after you. And catching it just enough so that the wave just picks you up and carries you ashore. And that's what I spent the majority of the day trying to do. Failed miserably. I would either paddle too late and the wave would already go and I wouldn't catch it. I wouldn't paddle at all, thinking that's not a wave I can catch when it would have been the perfect one. Or the worst out of all of them, I would paddle too early and I wouldn't catch the wave. I'd be ahead of it and the wave would come crashing down on me. We as people hate missing opportunities, don't we? Don't you just hate it when something comes by and you know it's going to be a good deal and it just comes right on by you. You miss it or you don't take it. We hate missing opportunities. And yet, it happens every Sunday when we're given the chance to tithe. God has incredible treasure, monetary and other, that is waiting for us when we seize the opportunity to tithe. The hang-up for most of us, you and me, is that we don't know the outcome, and we want God to reveal it right from the get-go. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? We want God to show us what the reward's going to be, and until we know what that's going to be, we have a problem letting go. In Scripture, it says, Malachi 3:10, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it." How do we move past our fear of God not providing? We have to trust the process. Hear me when I say this. We have to trust the process and divorce the outcome. We have to give what God asks and trust that he will come through, open the floodgates of heaven, and bless us so much we won't be able to contain it all. Now, I'm sure this all sounds well and good, but there's also one question I'm sure if we asked, a whole flood of answers would come pouring out. And that question is simply, why don't people tithe? Statistics show that 75 to 90% of people don't tithe. And the average giving per household is only 2.5% of their income. So it's pretty obvious from those statistics, tithing is not a priority among people. Here are just a few big reasons why, and I want to go through them and kind of just shoot them out of the air because they are reasons that the enemy uses. So let's go over them. Why people don't tithe. The first is simply, I give my time instead. I give my time instead. Again, it's going back to, we'll volunteer our time. We'll work in Kids Quest. We'll work at a homeless shelter. We'll do whatever. And I want to be clear, I'm not bashing that. That, if you do that, can I encourage you, keep doing that. That's an amazing thing, and that's what we're also commanded to do. But here's the problem. When we say, I give my time instead, and use that as an excuse not to tithe, what it goes back to is we're surrendering only one area of our life to God, not all of it. God asks for everything, not just the part that we're comfortable with. The second reason people don't tithe is, I give to those in need. Again, wonderful thing to do, not bashing that. But here's the problem. It says that our priorities, when we do that, when we say we're not going to tithe, we're going to give this to somebody else who we think needs it. It's saying that our priorities outmatch God's priorities. Now for what I would call the two biggest reasons. It's not an easy talk, is it? This one, I'm in debt. Debt has become one of our nation's biggest problems. And I think we all know that. But if you don't believe me, let me just read off some facts. Last year, the total household debt had reached, ready for this, $12.73 trillion. The average credit card debt in America is $16,883. The average car loan debt in America, this one floored me. The average car loan debt in America is $29,539. And the average interest paid on credit cards per year is $1,292. Debt is a terrible thing. And I want to take this moment to really encourage you guys. If you are in debt, get out. Find a plan, find a way, get the tools you need, and get out of debt and experience financial freedom, whether that's through Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, that's a powerful program, or even just going to a junior college and taking a personal finance 101. Don't be a slave to your money, be a master of it. Proverbs 22:7 says it, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. Now, I'm sure it's pretty easy. As I was making this talk, a lot of this stuff is what I was thinking if I was in those shoes or if it was applying to me, which it is. There's something I think that most people would say, and that is, when I get out of debt, then I'll start honoring God with my finances. But I have to get out of debt first. Let me just respond to that in two ways. The first is a fact, and the second is just my opinion, so you can take it or leave it. The fact is this: God doesn't say honor me when you feel like it. The scriptures say in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6, I'm sure we've all heard this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Give to God what is due, and watch him take care of your needs. Now for my opinion, and again, it is just my opinion. Tithing isn't just a part of financial freedom. It's not just a part of it. It is the key to it. Tithing is the key to financial freedom. Here's why I say that. You can have all the money in the world. You can be a billionaire. But if you don't have a generous heart towards God, you will always want more, and you will always wonder where it's going to come from. When you trust God with your finances, you are free of those worries. You take off that burden of fear, and you begin the freedom of living. Now for the last big reason, and this is a huge reason why people don't tithe. I don't trust the church. Is that really such a big surprise, though? I mean, if we think about it, if we go back in time, there are so many examples. We've seen it on the news. Churches, pastors, embezzling money, spending money on ridiculous projects. I remember watching a video on YouTube of a pastor one time who was, I don't know what the scenario was, but he was explaining in an interview why he spent millions of dollars on a mansion and saying it was for the congregation when he was the only one who had the keys to it. Is it any wonder people don't trust the church? Here's the thing, and this is sad even though it happens. The key to that whole issue is trust, or rather, distrust. The enemy loves to use lies to ruin our trust with God. Just look at Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent tempts Eve with eating from the tree of good and evil. The serpent says, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? What the serpent was really saying, can you really trust what God says? Now, I want to make one thing kind of clear out of this, and I don't think anybody would do this, but I wanted to be sure. I want to cover all of my bases before we start going saying it was all the woman's fault. She's the one who messed up. If we look and study scripture, it is very, very clear within it that Adam was literally standing right next to Eve as this whole conversation is going down. Actually, almost standing over her shoulder. Adam didn't even try to be a leader. And sadly, and again, this is not targeting anybody, this is me just making a statement that I see fitting with today's culture. Most men don't want to be a leader in their marriage or in dealing with the finances. Something we need to change. The number one fight married couples have immediately after returning from the honeymoon, you guessed it, finances. The reason? Distrust. There was no discussion before on how to handle the finances, followed by zero transparency. And I'm going to throw this out there because she's here in the audience. Me and my wife, we have not had one fight over money. Hear what I'm saying. We've had not had one fight about money. The why? The reason why? Because we had some really good counsel and said, talk about it before. Talk it out before. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. That's the key to the whole problem right there. That's the key to it. Nowhere in there does it say, assess the risk, then give what you feel is right. Remember, we have to trust the process and divorce the outcome. We give to God what is his, and he'll take care of what it's used for. A lot of these reasons can feel very real. I'm not even going to deny that. But they are lies that an enemy wants to use to keep you from an intimate relationship with God. And when we overcome these lies, not only do we experience the benefits, but so do us as a church. And remember, the church isn't a building. It's not this facility, it's not this property, it's us here in this room. We are the church. So here are some ways that when you overcome those reasons to not give, when you do tithe, the church wins. Here they are. First one is this: we reach people for Christ. Or I should say, we get to reach people for Christ. Our vision here at The Quest is simple: to creatively love and lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And one of the ways that we do that is through evangelistic ministries. It says it in Scripture, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go to the people of all nations and make them disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I have told you. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. I got to tell you, some of you might know this, some of you might not. I oversee the finances here. And as I said before, it's hard to trust the church. Can I tell you something I am so proud of? We keep track of the finances to the T. We do not slack on that. We account for every single penny because we take it seriously. But one of the things that we believe is we have to set an example. So as a church, we tithe 10% of everything that comes in, everything that people donate. 10%, that's what's given to the general fund, is given to missions because we believe in evangelistic ministries. Certain organizations, you may have heard of these, like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Every Neighborhood Partnership, even Teen Challenge, we give to them. And one of the things that I am really excited to tell you this morning is that we're gearing up to partner with something new called CityServe. And this program is going to revolutionize the way we do evangelism. The way it works, and you might have heard if you were at Quest Camp, Dave talk about it. There are warehouses set up all across the U.S. And Costco, the Costco, is just donating items to those warehouses. And I'm not talking just food. I'm not talking just clothes. I went to the nearest warehouse. They're donating things like lawnmowers, barbecue grills, lighting, dog food. I mean, anything that comes from Costco. They don't control what comes in, but Costco gives it and the warehouse takes it. And so what do we get to do? As a pod, a point of distribution, all we have to do is pick up the items, store them, and then report the testimonies on when we give them. Because there needs to be accountability. We can't just say, oh, well, somebody in our church, they really need a pool from Costco. That's not the way it works. Let me just give you an example. One of the things that I heard in the training meeting on how this thing works. There was a family in a church, a mother, a father, three kids. And we don't know exactly what happened, but the father's life was taken. That's tough. That's tough. I mean, not only just for the mother, but think of the kids. All of a sudden, their father, who they've known their whole life, is gone. And the pastor of that church, who was a pod, went to the warehouse and said, listen, how do you deal with that? How do you comfort a family? There are no words. There are no words. Is it all right, though? We'll take whatever you give us, but do you have one of those pools? And we'd like to give it. We don't want to donate to them, but we'd like to lend it to them for an afternoon. And that's exactly what they did. And those kids got to swim for a few hours and for a moment, a brief moment, forget their dad's gone. That's what we get to do with CityServe. It's compassion. It's going out and saying, we don't control what we get, but here you go. No strings attached. We just want you to know God loves you, and we're here as a church. The second way that we win when we tithe is it gives us a place to meet together. It gives us a place to meet together. How many of you are so excited that we get to come here on Sundays? It's pretty awesome. This is a great facility. I love it. I love everything about it. Do you love that the AC is on? I'm going to say that again. Do you love that the AC is on?
Yeah.
Whew. Got to pay the bill somehow. Everything from the electric bill to the internet to even the right to use the songs so that we can worship. Everything we do here, the way that we function, it all comes when you choose to have a generous heart and give. And when we fail to give, then paying the bills becomes a game. And I got to tell you, I hate that game. I hate it. Hebrews 10:25 has something to say about it. It says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." If we want to have a place where we can meet together, we have to be willing to give together. And the last way, the last thing we win as a church when we give, when we tithe, we get to fuel family ministries. We get to help people. We get to help people. Can I be transparent with you for a sec? That's the whole purpose of this job. That's the whole reason why we exist as a church. We're here to reach out to people for Christ. Don't get me wrong. But the best way we do that, the best way we show God's love is by going through that open door where somebody is in pain and in need and we say, we're going to help out. We're going to take care. Ministries like student ministry, kids ministry, all those things are fueled from tithing. The curriculum that we have, the videos, everything we do, men's ministry, women's ministry, all of it, all of the things that we get to do as a church and hang out and build our faith of God, it's fueled by tithing. When we all choose to tithe, God uses that to fuel the ministry, allowing us to help people and see testimony after testimony of how God is changing lives. We're going to do a couple things before we end, and I'm going to leave you with some, I think, some very potent application. I want to end it and give you some application so you can walk out of here feeling like I'm equipped. I have something to go towards. There's two things. The first is practical, and it's simply this. Don't spend more than what you make. Don't spend more than what you make. Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get." As I said, this talk was not directed at anybody else but me. This last weekend, it hit me so hard, I had to have a conversation with my wife, Jessica. We had to talk about some of this stuff. And while we were doing it, we were coming up with some certain things that there are, it was basically a list, things we need, because there are things you need. You have to pay rent. You have to pay your mortgage. You have to live. You have to live somewhere. There are things we need, and then there are things we don't need. And as we started looking at that list, it became apparent there are some things we didn't need. Don't spend more than what you make. Again, don't be a slave to your finances. Be the master of them. And then there's the spiritual application, and that is take a step of faith towards generosity. Take that one step and have faith towards being generous. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Take a step of faith towards generosity. Here's what I mean by that. And again, I don't know where any of you are at. There are some people who don't give anything. If that's you, give something. Take a step. Doesn't matter what it is. $10. Give something. If you do give something, be consistent in it. Take that step. Give every week. Already doing that? It's fine. Take the step up to tithing. Work your way up to it. Whether that's starting at 5% and working your way up to 10. Tithe. Already tithing? Some of you are like, "I'm good. He's not going to mention me. I'm good." If you're tithing, be generous. God has blessed you. Take that step. Let me give you an example real quick of what I mean. And this is not what I'm saying when I say be generous, do this. This is an example of generosity. My dad's a pastor, and he did something that I never would have thought of. But he said, "You know, I want to try something. God, I feel like God's put it on my heart. So I'm going to ask," he was going to ask our church to do it. And he said, "For one Sunday, just one, not the whole month, just the one Sunday, we're going to do something called Miracle Outreach Sunday. And instead of giving 10%, I'm going to ask that we as a church give 90%. Let me tell you something. It's tough enough living on 100%. Am I right? Let alone giving 10% up, but to give 90% up. I got to tell you, they did it. And there was people who did it. And the next week, testimony after testimony, story after story. People got raises that they didn't think they were in for a raise. There was people who took care of bills for them. There was people that took out of their savings to make it happen financially so they could do it. And their investments doubled. They returned better than what they thought they were going to. How can you explain that other than saying God came through? Again, that's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm just giving you an example, something that you can put in your mind and say, that's generosity. That's taking a step of faith towards being generous. I want to encourage you, take a step of faith today towards generosity, whatever that is. I promise you, God will come through. He always has for me. I have no doubt he always. Can I pray with you today as we end things out? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. God, thank you for today. Thank you for all the amazing things you're doing here at The Quest. You have done so much. We were able to get a brand new roof. And not only that, we paid the loan off for that roof within 6 months. We had 3 years to pay that sucker off. And you have done so much more, so many things that we haven't even revealed yet to people. And you are doing so much in the background. We are so excited. But all of that happened because people were generous with what you had given them. God, I ask today that we would open our hearts and we would take that step of faith and give back what you have given to us, knowing full well Not only are you going to bless us, you're going to take care of us more than we could possibly understand. We want to experience, I want people here to experience the joy of being generous, the freedom that comes with it, the splendor, the experience. It's like unlike anything that we could ever feel. It's being like you, God. It's being and acting in your image. And I just pray that you would be with people in the midst of all the turmoil that's going on, whatever might be happening. Give them comfort today. Thank you again that we get to come here as the Quest Church and live for you, God. In your name I pray, everything and everyone said, amen.